Yeah, I don't know how I've done. Like I said, it's been a wild week compared to like the weeks before. I had a lot more stuff I had to take care of in my like, personal life, per se. But yeah, it's just trying to find that balance with professionals at the end of the day. You know, like what I had to deal with is probably nothing compared to a lot of household names. Yeah, hopefully there's more to come.
Bills linebacker Joe Andreessen, he made the 53. Of course, the 53 is still up for tweaks. And see if he sticks long term. Jeremy and Joe with you on a Wednesday morning. On Wednesdays at 7:30, with chat with Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast on Twitter at the Joe Marino. Joe, good morning. Happy the 53 is here kind of day.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I think that's a good way to distinguish it. The initial 53 is here, but you know it's fluid every day.
We have our surprises, right? They're not, I mean, big shocks, Daquan Hardy, Tyrell Shavers. I mean, when you look at how the whole process played out through training camp, through the preseason, sometimes it's about watching practice, sometimes it's about watching games, and sometimes it's about listening to the coaches, what they say. What are your takeaways?
Yeah, I think those are the big surprises, starting with Daquan Hardy. But the more I thought about it, I think this is what it comes down to. Sean McDermott told us that they drafted him to be a punt returner. And while he has a lot of upside as a punt returner, those reckless decisions that he made with the ball in the first two preseason games, I think were something that really bothered the team and led to them not only releasing Hardy, but making a trade for a different player to do that job. So I think that's what that one comes down to. I was pretty impressed with Hardy the corner. I felt like whenever I was analyzing Hardy, it was corner tape. And evidently that wasn't enough for the Bills to let him kind of have that opportunity to develop while he handles punt return duties. As for Casey Tuhill, it's tough to reconcile that one, honestly. I feel like he's probably player 53 on the roster. If the Bills make one move today to add a player, I think that he might be the one that leaves. And you just kind of look at the journey. A guy that was kind of an underwhelming player at Washington, he comes to the Bills on a minimum-type contract, and then he's injured a ton during training camp and preseason. You kind of ask yourself, what's the resume? What did he do to validate this decision to keep him on the roster? And so part of me wonders if it has something to do with Quentin Morris, and that might be something you're thinking, well, Joe, what does it have to do with Quentin Morris? Well, I think Quentin Morris is going to try to play through a shoulder injury, and he's an important four-phase special teams player, and maybe they look at Casey Tuhill as a guy that can absorb those special teams duties and provide some value there. But, yeah, those were definitely the two surprises for me, Hardy not making it and Tuhill being here. But, again, initial 53, we'll see what happens from here.
Yeah, it could be for Tuhill. If you wanted to read into it a certain way that maybe you're not, it's a fear about where they are at defensive end. But if you're saying, like, you think he's 53, then I don't want to make that leap about that position.
Yeah, I mean, I watched a lot of Casey Tuhill when the Bills signed him, and I thought he was a middling replacement-level rotational defensive end. I certainly understand that, the idea that you want to have some hedges at defensive end. Maybe you have some questions about, you know, your cast of characters there. But I personally find Kingsley Johnson to be a more attractive option than Casey Tuhill. But I think he's – I just don't think much of him. I think he's a replacement-level rotational player. So we'll see if he sticks.
Yeah. I think one thing I'm guessing you're not surprised by, because you told us weeks ago about what they did last year, Joe, was the Bills only keeping five receivers. So when you saw that Tyrell Shavers was among the cuts, were you maybe not as surprised as some of us were?
Yeah, I've kind of been calibrating my expectations for them to roster only five receivers. And I think there could have been a place for a sixth guy if that sixth guy would have emerged. And I think that's what they tinkered with. They gave Tyrell Shavers that opportunity, and that didn't pan out. I mean, all the hype with Tyrell Shavers was driven from what the messaging was from press conferences and the fact that he was getting first-team reps in training camp. But what did he actually do, right? There was no real tangible production that you point to. They gave K.J. Hamler opportunities in that spot, and he drops passes and didn't show enough ability in the return game to be consistent there to make you think he should get the job. And you know, I think they gave Isabella some chances in practice. So I think they gave guys chances to win it. But if you're trying to put your best team together, it's. I just don't think they found a wide receiver six that they liked for that spot. And so I'm curious to see today as you kind of consider guys that were let go. I feel like there's a decent amount of receivers that could be attractive, and I'm sure the Bills would be an attractive spot for these receivers. So I think there could be some movement there. But I think five's a number they're comfortable with. As I've said, They rostered five all last season, and then even when they rostered six, one of those players was Andre Roberts, who was really just a returner. So I think five's a number that they're pretty comfortable with at wide receiver.
Yeah, and I wonder, you know, as you say, there could be some other options out there. I wonder if they would even do it. I mean, it appears that MVS is maybe, you know, somewhat tight with Josh. Mac Hollins is, in the words of the offensive coordinator, my favorite human ever. I think that was the quote he had during training camp. So there's our level of comfort with their receivers, and then there's how the Bills feel about it, and they might just think we are good here.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that, Jeremy. I think where the Bills could be inspired to add somebody is if there was a level of concern with MVS and the neck injury and Curtis Samuel with the turf toe, right? I think if they don't do anything there, I think that would be a good sign of their comfort level there. And plus, I'm sure a lot of these guys, they'd like to get back on the practice squad. I'm sure they want Shavers back or Isabella or Hamler or maybe Deion Kane or Justin Short or like Xavier Johnson. All of these guys, they're going to get two or three of them back on the practice squad. So, you know, they'll have their guys they could call up, and it's kind of exactly what they did last year, bringing up Isabella sometimes. They brought up Gentry for a game, I think. So that's something that they've done, and I think we could see them do it again.
We've spent, obviously, a lot of time talking about these receivers. I am not really shocked to see the five that have made it. Joe and I made a bet during the offseason that there'd be these five, and I had Claypool, who's injured, and so his season ends there. It's funny, though, Joe, like the way that the arc of the offseason goes, I'm not surprised based on a month ago or 2 months ago. If you'd taken me back 5 months, I might be kind of surprised with where they landed. And I wonder, as you get ready to watch this team go into the season, how your level of confidence in that group, how it sits. And, of course, there's how it sits individually. Then there's the context of the tight ends and the running backs and the quarterback himself. So on its own, and then as part of the offense, how does it sit with you?
Well, I think you do have to lump in Kincaid and Knox and some of the expectations for the running backs in the passing game as well to kind of get the entire picture of what they want this passing offense to be. And I think that's an important piece of this. And I think you just have two really different approaches in the NFL right now. You have what you're seeing teams like the 49ers and Texans and Dolphins do with just – loading up on wide receiver talent and that being really important to them. And then you have teams like the Packers and the Bills and the Chiefs that are just kind of like a by committee approach. And I just named six really good offenses, right? But they're all that you get there just really different ways. And so I think the Bills are relying a lot on their quarterback, Josh Allen, to be able to distribute and execute and use, you know, not only his arm talent to make throws, but the dual threat nature that he brings to the table to be the catalyst for this offense. And so I think that's exciting to some extent. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Josh functions without the idea of having to throw the ball to one receiver 150, 160 times, right? It's some of those unknowns make it interesting and exciting, but also makes it very concerning at the same time. So I think if I take this team from what I saw at camp when I was there for a week, I was very encouraged by how the passing game looked. Unfortunately, we didn't really get a chance to see any of it during preseason, so I think we're kind of left wondering, you know, exactly what the on-field execution is going to look like. But I think you can spin this however you want it to, and I guess we'll find out for real here very soon.
One other team, good offense, that does not have a lot, the Lions only have four receivers on their final 53, and Tim Patrick goes to their practice squad with the idea that maybe he can make their fifth spot. You know, Joe, as you break that down, how different will that this all be for Allen? Does it ask him to be a different type of passer? Does it ask him to be a different type of quarterback? Whether that's, you know, we've been through several years here of his career arc. Is that being more mature, more on schedule, looking for explosive plays from more conservative passes? You know, sometimes it seems like he has to be, I don't know if it's talked into, not winging it down the field. Do you feel like the depth of target is going to be different this year than it has been in years past? All these changes, what kind of Allen does that aim to bring out?
Well, I think I look at the skill sets. That's what I do. I look at the skill sets that are available to him, and that probably helps me answer this question the best that I can. And I think, what do they have? I think they have middle-of-the-field targets in Kincaid and Shakir that you would kind of expect to work that area of the field. And then they have guys on the perimeter that I think along the sidelines, you trust them to kind of win some leverage battles. And so I think what they're going to ask Josh to do is be willing to kind of put it in spots and trust guys to go make plays on the ball. And I think they'll certainly mix that in with some RPO and some quick separation stuff, some perimeter screens to kind of keep defenses playing a little bit looser so they can kind of allow that off coverage to dictate some of their free access, if you will, of where they can go with the football. But I think that it's going to lead to a maybe for Josh Allen, a more efficient player in terms of getting the ball out of his hands and into the hands of playmakers. And I think your explosive plays are going to come more from yards after catch and more on extended plays. I don't know that you're going to see a whole lot of shots down the field. I just don't know that they have those types of players that, you know, you expect can win foot races and get behind secondaries. I think they're going to get their explosive plays from Yak, you know, Josh Allen going off script, but then being able to throw balls into the perimeter that they trust guys to go make. I think they love that slot fade play, you know, where the guy runs from the slot and kind of works the sideline and kind of uses that space, trying to leverage the sideline a little bit and use that space to make some plays. So I think it's going to have a different look and feel. How Josh Allen fares in this is yet to be seen, but this is definitely a calculated choice in terms of the direction of the offense. You'd like to think Josh Allen was on board with kind of this mindset. And I guess I keep going back to this line. I guess we're going to find out soon enough.
I keep telling myself that. Like I go back to when you used to say Josh Allen throws the ball to wide receivers. Like, he didn't really target Dawson Knox that much. He threw the ball to wide receivers.
Fault, Jeremy.
Well, it's part of what got me thinking. Like, as you say, like, I've got my doubts about these receivers, but I'm constantly reminding myself that this is a different style and a different build. You say slot fade, and I think that's where they're going to throw that to Keon Coleman all day, right? Like, that's going to be his route.
Well, they did it a lot with Khalil Shakir last year too, and I think that's kind of the forgotten thing about Khalil Shakir is he's got a lot of down the field talent, not necessarily like, you know, DeSean Jackson, you know, nine balls down the field, but that ability to work those deep ends and those slot fades, like, he's very good at that too. So, I definitely was somebody who said often keep the cupboard full of wide receivers. Josh Allen likes throwing the ball to wide receivers. They've definitely made a pivot from that, and so. We're going to find out.
Joe Marino on the Western Hotline. On the reported Mike White signing to the practice squad, do you see him as just third-string guy to get you through until Trubisky's healthy, or do you think he's someone that rates enough that could push for being their number two?
Interesting choice to sign him to the practice squad because he can only be elevated three times. And I'm curious to see if the Bills sign a quarterback to the roster today and Mitch Trubisky winds up going on IR. I think there's a path for that to happen. I thought that was definitely pretty interesting. Maybe they want to just go ahead and get him locked in. It's fascinating to me. I think obviously he gives you a certain level of play, right? I don't think that much of him as a player, but as a depth quarterback, I think he's probably fine. But the real value probably comes from week two, Miami. You know, someone's got to run the Miami offense during the scout team, and I think Mike White would probably do a bang up job of that.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. We'll talk again. It's a game week next week. Yeah. That's exciting. We'll be the day before Chiefs-Ravens and then into Arizona. Any early kind of thought on Arizona to give us before we go?
Yeah, Arizona can run the ball on offense. That's one thing you got to be mindful of. I don't think their defensive personnel is very good, but a defensive-minded coach that I'm sure will have a good game plan. But when you think Cardinals, that's a team that ran the ball last year well without Kyler Murray being really part of that. I think their offensive line's better, and so is their running back situation. So, going to have to be ready to stop the run next week.
All right. Thanks, Joe. We'll talk next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Joe Marino. You can follow him on Twitter, @TheJoeMarino. Locked On Bills podcast, you know, subscribe through Odyssey, through wherever you get your podcast, the Locked On Bills podcast as well.
I think
803-0550. Got something coming up? I've got some stuff for you.
Taking to wait for next. I was just going to say, I think next week when we start talking more Cardinals, Bills fans are going to learn who Trey McBride is.
He's good.
Like, it's Kincaid and Laporta who are always mentioned as these are the next star tight ends. McBride needs to be mentioned in that sentence every time. He's great.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Next, I saw something about Mahomes yesterday that had me asking, what would I pay to get this little piece of information? What would it be worth to me to know this? We'll get to that next.